Greetings and welcome to Redeemer Radio. We want to begin our broadcast today by thanking you for listening and for supporting this weekly radio ministry through your faithful prayers for us. We are mindful of how dependent we are upon the grace of God and upon the prayers of our listeners if this broadcast is to bear much fruit for Christ's kingdom. So we thank God for the opportunity that we have to declare His glory and His redemption through Christ each week. And we wish to thank you for tuning in faithfully and prayerfully as those who recognize the need for a radio program such as this. And of course, in keeping with our present goal of setting forth the ways in which God sovereignly works in the lives of His people, we want to continue our discussion on the topic of good works. For as we emphasized in last week's program, we who are in Christ, we who are in saving union with Christ through faith alone, will produce good works. In fact, it's not a question of if we will produce good works, for we are, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the workmanship of God created for good works. But it's really a matter of our working out through our own obedience that which God, through the light of His grace, is working within us. And of course, our responsibility to do good works for the glory of God and as a testimony of the light that we do possess as God's workmanship is emphasized in such passages as Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And Pastor Steve, please take a few moments to comment on this important verse before we move on in our discussion today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff. We'll be glad to do that. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And it comes in the midst of a context here, to let your light shine that they may see. And the context is a city on a hill cannot be hid. The light is very visible. And Jesus is not telling us to do good works in order to be seen. Actually, the whole context is just the opposite. The Pharisees do their good works in order for people to see them, so that people can praise them. But He is telling us that our good works will be seen, because the light on a hill can't be hidden. It's obvious. And so our good works will be seen. And as they are seen, what are they to do? Well, you know, there's a lot of things that you can say about that, a lot of things we could say. Look how they love one another. That's one of the things it says in the Christian community. And then look at the good that's done and the compassion that the Christians have on the world and that the individuals Christians have on the world. And that's a good thing, too. So why do we do good works? Well, they need to be done for the good of our fellow man. That's true, but that's not the primary reason. And they need to be done for our fellow Christians. We're exhorted to do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. So that's all very true, too, but that's not the primary reason. And, you know, we even need to do good works for ourselves. We're the better for it. We benefit from it. There's great value to us as we help others. It gets our focus off of ourselves and gets our focus onto others. But the verse itself gives us the primary reason that we need to do good works. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's the real reason that we need to do them. Good works bring glory to God, and they cause others to glorify God, and man's chief end is to glorify God. And so there's the primary reason of Matthew 5:16 that we need to do good works.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Steve, for those helpful remarks. And now, friends, we want to welcome back our special guest today. For joining us here again in the KCAA studio is Pastor Mark Santiago of Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California. Mark has been the sole pastor of Free Grace Church since 2008. Free Grace Church is a Reformed Baptist congregation holding to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And Pastor Mark will be telling us more about the ministry of Free Grace Church later in today's broadcast. But at this time, we want to continue our interview on the topic of good works. For last week, Pastor Mark did a great job of defining for us what good works are by definition and by nature. And now today, continuing on this major theme, we want to focus on the place of good works in the life of the believer, why God accepts the believer's good works, and why we should be motivated to practice good works. And so without any further delays, we want to thank Pastor Santiago for being with us again today. And welcome back, dear brother, to Redeemer Radio.
It's a joy to be here. Thank you very much for having me again.
Good to see you, Mark.
Thank you.
Pastor, let's start with this question. Can we, by our very best works, merit pardon for our sins or obtain eternal life from the hand of God? And why or why not?
Well, Brother Massey, I really appreciate the question. It does have a number of things built into it which are worth touching on. Can we merit pardon for our sins or obtain eternal life? Those are two things right there. And again, given the nature of God, as pure and perfect as He is, as we learn from Isaiah 6:3, He is holy, holy, holy. And He cannot look upon sin, according to Habakkuk 1:13. He cannot look favorably upon sin. He cannot have agreement or whatnot with it. And so we have His nature, which is what His law stems from. It's in accordance with His nature, and His law demands perfection. If I may, Galatians 3 and verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law." So there's a very profound, wide, deep demand by the law to keep it in every sense. Given that, we know from experience what our problem is. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Right.
Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way." And so we have our wonderful, perfect God with His high, perfect, holy standard, and yet we are so far below what God designed us for and what we ought to do. We have a terrible sin problem, and it is because of that that we cannot merit pardon. We don't have the capacity to bridge the infinite gap between us, sinners, and a holy God. So we do not have the capacity to merit pardon. What we've done in the past in terms of violating God's law is something that we simply cannot go backwards in time and undo. And it's not a matter of having once violated the law of God doing two good things to cancel out the one bad thing. It's not a system where that is even possible.
Mm-hmm.
God is omniscient. His memory is not failing. He remembers our sinful deeds, and He has stated very clearly that the consequences of sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
The wages of sin is death. In Romans 6:23, we see that. Our condition is also restated in Ephesians 2:1. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. So, how could a dead being merit anything or do anything? So we cannot merit pardon, nor can we do a positive act of righteousness which would impress God and please Him and move Him to repay us for our goodness. That scenario just simply does not exist. We need for an eternal, peaceful relationship with God to have our sins completely blotted out and to have perfect righteous deeds in our account. And both of those are things we fail utterly at. If I may expound a little further, if that's
yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
You know, if we put ourselves in the mindset of the Old Testament, we would say, or we could say, that we cannot atone for our sins. We cannot atone for ourselves. In the Old Testament, they were in the practice of offering animal sacrifices, which really were a foreshadow of Jesus. And if you recall, technically, in terms of atoning in the Old Testament, you had to pick out the unblemished lamb. And the problem is that we are blemished by our own sins. We do not qualify to be an unspotted lamb for an atonement. Only there's only one who qualifies in that regard. If we think with a modern mindset, in terms of technology and computers, we cannot delete what we have done yesterday or before that in our past. So we're not in a position to do so. Unfortunately, some have said it very well, that that's how Christianity is different from all other religions, is that salvation is by grace in Christianity, whereas the rest of the religions of the world are a works-oriented, are works-oriented organizations or systems, and humankind has that tendency to want to prove itself, and indeed cannot do so. So we cannot merit pardon. We cannot do righteous, positive righteous deeds to obtain eternal life. And those are the reasons why.
Very good. Thank you, Pastor. Well, friends, it's time for a break. Please stay tuned to Redeemer Radio. When we return, we'll continue talking about the nature of good works with Pastor Mark Santiago of Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California. So you won't want to miss the next segment of the program. And if you want more information about the church that sponsors this broadcast, please go to our website at RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. That's RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Please stay with us. Who says that theology is boring or that Christian truth has no relevance for today? No one who listens to Redeemer Radio does. For Redeemer Radio, which broadcasts here on KCAA every Friday afternoon at 3, is a thought-provoking Christian radio program aimed at those who are serious about their Christian faith. When you listen to Redeemer Radio, you'll hear solid biblical teaching, guest interviews on a variety of theological subjects, and other segments designed to deepen your understanding of God and His Word. So join us every Friday as we discuss subjects that are vital to your growth as a Christian. Again, that's Redeemer Radio every Friday at 3 o'clock here on KCAA, where, as we stress every week, there is a Redeemer, Jesus Christ is His name, and we have a duty to make Him known. So listen in and grow. That's Redeemer Radio with me, Jeff Massey, every Friday at 3 p.m. here on KCAA 1050 AM.
Thank you,
oh my God. We are back from the break, and we're excited that you're listening to Redeemer Radio today, and we'd like to give you an opportunity to forward your comments to us regarding this program and its content. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at comments@redeemer-radio.com. Again, that email address is comments@redeemer-radio.com. And let me also remind you that all the broadcasts of Redeemer Radio are recorded, and they are available for listening at RedeemerReformedBaptistChurch.com. Our returning guest today is Pastor Mark Santiago of Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California. Our topic is good works, and during this segment, our co-host, Pastor Steve Marcadont, will be leading the interview.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeff. Pastor Santiago, would it be true to say that even when we've done all that we can, we've only done our duty and we're unprofitable servants? And if so, why is this true?
Yes, indeed, Pastor Marcadont, I would say that that is the case. When we've done all that we can, when we've refrained from sinning, and as much as we possibly can, and when we have exerted ourselves and poured ourselves out in doing the things that the Lord guides us in and teaches that we ought to, we don't have a surplus of righteousness. There isn't a way to exceed what God would command. We cannot impress Him. We're so far from His standard of loving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mm. If you think about that, I mean, every faculty of man, and in every way, in every moment, in every instance, in every relationship, doing so is something we're so far from. We've only done once we've done all that we can, we've only done our duty at the very best. Even a man as holy as the Apostle Paul, he was one who cried out, "Wretched man that I am,"
mm-hmm.
present tense.
Yeah, yeah.
In Romans 7, he was one that was confounded and beside himself in terms of how inconsistent his duty was with his actual practice. Mm-hmm. Now he was under his own microscope because he loved God so mm-hmm. much. He wanted to serve the Lord out of gladness and
that's right.
and those. That right kind of motivation, and so he saw himself as the chief of sinners. And yet here's a man who is indeed one of the holiest Christians that we can look to or point at. And so if he can acknowledge his failures, knowing that the standard is that high, indeed we would have to say the same with regard to ourselves. We would be unprofitable at the very best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. It's unprofitable just to do your duty, isn't it? I mean, it's supposed to do that.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned it in the first segment. I think it was very true and very interesting. You said all religions are a religion of works except the Christian religion. And this is very true. I know people, a lot of people, go around thinking about a teeter-totter, mm-hmm. that God's going to put all their good works on one side, put all their sins on another side, and they're hoping that the good works wins and they earn heaven. Well, we know that's not the purpose of good works, Pastor Mark, as you've said very well in our two interviews here. And as we have been saying, the purpose of good works is not to earn salvation, but to glorify God.
That's right.
So let me ask you this. We know that the persons of believers are accepted through Christ. But what about our good works? Are they accepted in Him as well?
Well, that's a bright, pleasant, positive comment or question, rather. And there's encouragement to be had there because I would answer in the affirmative, yes. Our persons, as well as our good works are simply the outworking, the product of our persons, our mm-hmm. new nature in Christ.
Yes.
And so, indeed, that is the case. That's great encouragement. You know, you might think of the relationship between a parent and their child. And so the child comes over and gives a birthday gift, a birthday card that's handmade or that type of thing. And so, of course, a loving parent is going to receive their child's handcrafted artwork or birthday present, if you will. The parent, if it's a wonderful, gracious parent, will say, "This is beautiful. I see your personality in this that you've created." And so the parent affirms the child, not because the child is Michelangelo to perfection, but because there is an understanding of the limitations of the child and yet a reception of that that child and their product. It's love. It's based on the love of God. In fact, Ephesians 1 is very encouraging along the lines of accepting us. In Ephesians 1, we're told in verse 6 that, well, it's partway through a sentence, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. And there's an affirmation of our being accepted, and if our persons, then indeed our works. We're also told that we are His workmanship.
Mm-hmm.
So that there's a sense in which who we are and what we are doing in the Lord is part of the Lord's workmanship. We are His workmanship. And so certainly He knows how to do a fine job. Nevertheless, we are secondary agents and imperfect and so forth. But He is refining. He is polishing. He is equipping and building us up. And indeed, He's going to get us to the point where we are that spotless bride, where we are that mature Christian, where we are indeed holier and more righteous in practice because of His grace, because He is in us and we are in Him. He is going to work through His good purposes, and He's going to pour out that kind of character within our lives that will get expressed in what we do as believers. we are accepted and our works are accepted. He's not unjust to forget our good works. He is mindful, as the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 expresses. It's that loving reception and acceptance of what it is that the servants have done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, there's an invitation there and an expression of joy and love and acceptance. What a wonderful God we have who accepts our good works. He does so in such a gracious, marvelous fashion.
Amen. Amen. That's a good illustration to kind of give us a anthropomorphic picture of what it's like between God and ourselves when you think about the parent-child relationship. And, you know, they draw that beautiful picture to us. It's a beautiful picture, but you're right. It's no Michelangelo. Well, with that thought being in mind, Pastor Santiago, how can God possibly accept and reward that which is sincere in us when we know that it's true, that our works are accomplished with many weaknesses and imperfections in them?
Well, the writers of the confession are spot on when they point to the fact that the Father is looking at our good works in His Son.
Yes. Yeah.
Key phrase, you know, key concept. The Son is absolutely accepted by the Father, who He is and what He has done. And our good works are abiding in Christ and done from the power of Christ, and they are sanitized, if you will, by who Christ is. We are protected in Christ even from our own shortfallings and from our own mixed motives, imperfections, weaknesses, and the like. So it is because we are in Christ. That's how He can accept us and indeed even reward us. You know, we talked last week a little bit about works necessarily coming from a true and lively faith.
Mm-hmm.
And since there is that connection between faith and works, faith necessarily produces works. Like James said in James 2, I will show you my faith by my works. Mm-hmm. Since there is that necessary relationship and connection, the quality of faith is going to affect the product. And so if you have great faith, you'll do great works, one could easily argue. And we are His workmanship. The faith that we have in the first place is a gift from God. And so He is certainly helping us in our works as He helps us in our faith. This is how He can accept our works, because it's a process and it is from Him and He's helping us. I'm mindful of the one doubtful disciple who said, I believe, help my unbelief. And if the Lord helps us in our weak faith, then those works that come from a weak faith are weak works, which are again propped up, supported, helped by God and His kindness. And I love the part of your question here, how can God possibly accept and reward that which is sincere in us? And indeed, the Lord offers rewards. It is because we are in Christ that He can accept our works. And the reward is also part of the incentive for us as secondary agents, as responsible beings. He knows our weak frame, and He knows that we need encouragements and rewards in order for us to press forward in our duty to serve Him and bear fruit.
Well, amen. Amen. Yeah, even our best works are mixed with sin. Even our best works are faltering and weak in so many ways. But let's just change gears here for a minute. And Pastor Santiago, let's talk about the works done by non-believers. Is it possible for a non-believer to do what God commands and thus please God by his or her works?
Well, the short answer is no. although it's acknowledged that non-believers at least superficially do the things that are, let's say, decent and in order. They stop at red lights at intersections.
Sure.
And so there is that kind of obedience or that kind of conduct. However, it's conduct that is merely outward, because for it to truly be a thing that pleases God, it must be done with faith. The writer of Hebrews teaches us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So an unbeliever lacks faith, and his works or his conduct stems from a lost heart, a heart of disbelief, a heart of opposition to God. An unbeliever in no way then can please God, although there's some little superficial obedience. Kind of reminds me of, for instance, Cain in Genesis 4. He came and he brought his offering. Now, some might argue the case for Cain and say, hey, what is the issue here? He has brought his offering after all. You know, he has come to church after all. He has given a check unto the ministry or that kind of support for Cain. However, when you dig just beyond that, you'll quickly find that Cain's heart was completely in the wrong place. He did not have faith, so therefore it was not genuine obedience from within as is required. And also, with the unbeliever lacking the Holy Spirit, we're told in Romans 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness, helps us to pray as we ought to, or completes the work of our prayer since we fall so short. He helps us in our weakness. The unbeliever does not have the helper, the Holy Spirit, nor the helper Christ who intercedes for us.
Well, friends, we come now to another break. When we come back, Pastor Mark Santiago will be answering more questions about the true nature of good works, and then he'll be making a recommendation of a book that we can read and profit from on this subject. Also, if you're looking for a Reformed Baptist Church to visit or to attend, please go to the website for the Southern California Association of Reformed Baptist Churches at scarbc.org. That's scarbc.org. Learn about the Reformed Baptist Church closest to you, and go there this Sunday morning for God-centered worship in spirit and truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back from the break. We want to remind you that Redeemer Radio is a radio ministry of Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church of Redlands. We meet at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the Arthur Murray Studio, located at 1969 Orange Tree Lane. That's 1969 Orange Tree Lane in the city of Redlands. For directions and more information about our worship services, please go to our church website at RedeemerReformBaptistChurch.com. That's RedeemerReformBaptistChurch.com. We hope to see you in worship with us this Sunday morning. Again, our special guest today is Pastor Mark Santiago of Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California. Our topic is good works, and we want to continue our discussion with this question. Pastor, where must a work proceed from? In what manner must it be done? And to what end must it be performed in order to glorify God and please Him?
Well, thank you for that question, Pastor Massey. And I would assert that the work in order to please God and glorify Him must proceed from God, ultimately. And what I mean by that is He has prepared the work beforehand which we are to walk in, and it is going to be expressed in His Word. And so He is the source of what that good work is. As far as the power, where it proceeds from, it must be God again. Ultimately, I'll sort of reiterate John 15 and verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He's the source of life and power for all of our good works. The Lord Jesus Christ is. And in another sense, since we are responsible agents to do work unto the Lord, I would say, as far as we are concerned, it must come from a heart of grace. Good works must proceed from a heart that has been changed, a heart that has been filled with the grace of God, so that we have the right mindset and the right disposition altogether, and first things first. Your question also asks, what manner must the work be done in? It must be done with faith, again, without which it is impossible to please God. That kind of heart filled with grace and faith would truly cause us to do works in humility and also out of thankfulness. So we have eager servants with the right mindset to serve God out of the right motive. For indeed from him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've talked about the importance of good works. Let's try to be practical here for just a moment. Pastor, how should ministers motivate their congregations to do good works?
Wonderful question. And my answer is that pastors, in order to motivate their congregations unto good works, must preach the whole counsel of God. By doing so, we will have God's mind. We will have his will. And his will is very clear that upon giving us sound doctrine, there is the necessity to put it into practice. So God himself in his word leads us from truth to practice. I learned, I don't remember where, what good teacher poured this out on my lap, but I learned in the course of time that the New Testament epistles are actually structured with what I was just describing. In other words, there's doctrine, and then necessarily there's practice. So that's where God is leading us to, and it's what preachers ought to do as well. In fact, let me give you an example or a few examples. What you have in the book of Romans, which I happen to be preaching through at our church, you have the doctrine of salvation, essentially. You have right doctrine all the way up to Romans 11:33, where it becomes very worshipful, where it moves the individual in light of God's wise plan of salvation pertaining to Gentiles or Jews. So it moves the person in a worshipful way. And then there's Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And there's this transition point, not only there in Romans, but you see that in Ephesians. I'll turn to Ephesians as well. It's a doctrinally based in the earlier part of the book, but then you have Ephesians 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So it becomes very practical, motivating unto the people of God. The book of Hebrews is the same way, where you see in chapter 10, verse 19, you see in chapter 11, and certainly chapter 12, more of that therefore transition from doctrine to right practice. And pastors ought to keep in mind that motivating the congregation has nothing to do with manipulation.
Right.
It's not a matter of trying to get something from the people for selfish purposes. Again, this has to be based upon the will of God. And so preaching the whole counsel will bring that to bear.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Santiago, for your helpful answers. And now, friends, we want to transition to our Take Up and Read segment, in which we make our book recommendation for the program. And we have asked our guest, Pastor Mark, if he would briefly discuss and recommend a book for us to read. And so, Pastor, please take some time and tell us about the book you're recommending and why our listeners will be helped by reading it.
Well, I appreciate that you asked this, and I have this opportunity to share a book that is very meaningful to me. And that book is a book by Mark Chansky. It is entitled Manly Dominion. And I'd like to share a little bit about how I chose this book. As I scanned my library, I had a few things in mind in order to recommend to your hearers. And one thing I had in mind was doctrinally oriented. What book do I have that treats the doctrine of good works? But I went back and scanned my library again, and I really asked myself, which of my books has been most instrumental in terms of my own personal pursuit unto good works? And certainly this book that I have in my hand here is one of the key books. Manly Dominion by Mark Chansky is very instrumental in the lives of many others, I know that they have read this book and have given that kind of interaction and good feedback. I love this book because it equips us with the right frame of mind by challenging us to avoid what Chansky there calls passive purple four-ball-ism. And for those who are not familiar with billiards, apparently there is a game where the four ball gets knocked around. And that's essentially what he's teaching us as men or as human beings, to not be knocked around passively by emotions and fears and circumstances, but rather to have a right frame of mind that is scriptural, that is courageous, that takes initiative, that takes responsibility, and does not take lightly or shy away from the call by God to take dominion of the earth for the glory of God. So he gives us a right frame of mind, which is very instrumental in setting us on our course unto good works. Additionally, I would say that it also very practically points us in all of the essential directions or areas of our lives, as it calls us to manly dominion over our own soul, that we would take initiative and deal with ourselves with those difficult questions and those difficult matters pertaining to our own soul, but then also manly dominion in vocational laboring, so in work, in decision making, in spiritual living, in husbanding, child rearing, and in romance managing. So the role of a man and the role of a human being. He does, by the way, mention that that this applies to men and women, and he did write another book, Womanly Dominion, which is geared more towards womanly issues. But this is very practical in pointing us into those areas where good works must be accomplished.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. We'd also like you to take some time here to tell us about the ministry of Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California, and your ministry there.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate the opportunity to do so. Our church, Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California, I'd point out a few things about its very blessed history, actually. It was founded in 1990, and we were based in Palmdale for many years, and the church was very useful by the Lord. He did wondrous things through the various pastors who shepherded there for over a decade, several different pastors. And the Christians grew and served there within the church and in the community and further away as well. We do have a church that is blessed. And over time, we've kind of dispersed. And so we do find ourselves humbled and there in Lancaster. We are just a handful of Christians, but nevertheless, as I tell the members each week, time is on our side. We are 1 week closer to glory.
Amen.
It is a church that is very Christ-centric. It is a church that is very word-oriented. We indeed take seriously the ministry of the word and prayer. I mentioned a bit ago, I've been preaching through the book of Romans, and while topical sermons may occur on some rare occasion, I have the conviction of preaching line by line through the scriptures, mm-hmm. preaching the whole counsel of God,
Amen.
And really hearing the people and their feedback in terms of the usefulness of it or if they have questions. But I do preach verse by verse. We have teaching for adults and children. In fact, right now we're going through a book for the children. It's The Child's Book of Repentance, and it's by a Puritan. And that is on the level of children and very helpful in ministering to their hearts and calling them to faith and repentance. We are going in adult Sunday school through book one of John Calvin's Institutes. And so we take seriously teaching and preaching, and it's the word. And all that is incorporated into worship, we see that in the scriptures. We teach and preach. We sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We pray. There's a leadership role for men to step into and to have manly dominion, in the words of the book I just mentioned. So we have weekly prayer as well, rotating in the homes of our members, or sometimes our visitors open their home. We're very busy about our Father's business with the measure of grace that He has granted to us. I'm very pleased with the church. I've grown a lot there as a Christian, and I'm very pleased to be the pastor there at Free Grace Church. If it's appropriate, I'll give our website or any of that.
Yes, please do.
Well, it is very raw and under construction. Nevertheless, you can find our contact information and our meeting times there at www.freegracechurch.us. In fact, I'll at least mention our meeting times. We meet in Lancaster. We rent from a facility, a Seventh-day Adventist facility. And we are there for Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, and we are there for worship at 10:30 a.m. So I hope that helps anyone that might be interested or in our area.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing that and telling us how we can pray for your ministry there in Lancaster. Pastor Steve, Pastor Mark, is there anything that either one of you would like to add before we conclude today's broadcast?
Well, I'd just like to elaborate on something that we had talked about as in regards to non-Christians. A lot of what we've said today has really been appropriate to Christians and how Christians should do good works. And the question did come up and was answered about, can lost men, can non-Christians do good works? And, of course, our churches are Reformed Baptist churches, which means, amongst other things, not exclusively, but we certainly do believe in the 5 points of Calvinism. Or we wouldn't be Reformed Baptists, and there's other things that mark us out too. But one of those doctrines is total depravity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, total depravity is misunderstood by so many people. As soon as we say the word, some people will start thinking of that we're saying that people are as absolutely and horribly evil as they possibly could be. And that isn't true. Even Hitler himself was not as evil as he could have been. He could have done even worse things than he did, despite all the heinous and horrible things. But, you know, what we're saying in total depravity is that man cannot do anything to merit God's grace. And that's what we've been talking about in the last two programs. Grace isn't grace if it's earned. If it's earned, it's wages. It's something that belongs to you. You know, we might say thank you to our boss when he gives us our paycheck, and that's just a matter of being polite. But truthfully, we earned that paycheck. It's not wrong to say thank you, but we earned it. It would be wrong for him to withhold it. So the point that we're trying to make is that non-Christians can do good, but they can't merit God's grace. And they can help one another, big things, little things. I was at a venue last night with another couple, my wife and I and another couple, and we were driving up to pay for the parking. The parking is going to be quite expensive for this venue, but we were willing to pay it. It was going to be $20. And so we said, well, okay, you bite the bullet and do what you got to do. You know, this is one of those one-time things. And a guy comes up to the car, didn't know him, never saw him before. He was actually walking. And the next thing you know, what he does is he hands me a preferred parking pass and says, here, use this.
Hmm.
That was a good thing. Now, that made our night. That was a very happy thing. I would have no idea if that man was a Christian or not. I didn't even... it took all I could to say thank you because I was so surprised at what had happened. But, you know, those are the kind of things that men can do for each other and ought to do for each other. The whole idea of paying it forward is a good thing. But we must never think that we're earning favor with God by doing that.
Right.
Lost non-Christians can create foundations. They can help educate people. They can heal diseases. Right now, over in Africa, there's the Ebola problem that's going on, and there are people that are bravely going over there to try to help, Christian and non-Christian alike, and we'll applaud that. So we're not saying that non-Christians cannot do good things, but we are absolutely saying that in no way can their good things merit favor with God. It's belief in Jesus Christ and trusting in Him that makes the difference.
Amen.
Amen.
Well said, Pastor Steve. And for those Christians who are listening, I pray that these two broadcasts on the subject of good works will indeed make you zealous for good works. You have good reason to be zealous. You have a great God who's delivered you from guilt, who's given you grace, and now you should respond to that God through the work of the Spirit with a heart of gratitude.
Amen.
May your good works be an expression of the gratitude that you have to God, and may we as preachers of the gospel remind our people that they need to express their gratitude, that the healthy way as a Christian to express their gratitude to God is in doing good works for the glory of God and for the good of others as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We started the program that way, just talking about that they may glorify your Father that's in heaven.
That's right. Amen. And that's the purpose of this program as well, to glorify God through the proclamation of His Word and the redemption that is found through Jesus Christ alone. Well, friends, this concludes today's broadcast of Redeemer Radio. We do want to thank Pastor Mark Santiago for being with us today and last week as well to talk about the vital topic of good works. Pastor Mark, may God continue to richly bless you and the saints at Free Grace Church in Lancaster, California. Mm-hmm. Again, brother, thank you for being here.
Amen. Thank you, and likewise, may the Lord bless the ministries where you serve as well.
Thank you. We just want to remind our readers that Mark does have a secular job. He works for the Department of Defense, so he was kind enough to take some time away from that job to be on radio these 2 weeks with us, and we sincerely appreciate
that. We're not giving away any classified information here.
No, we're not giving away any classified information, but pray for our brother as a vocational pastor. Pastor who works a secular job and also cares for the flock of God. He's a busy man, and he needs our prayers, so let's remember that. Yeah. And for you, our listeners, please tell others about this weekly broadcast. And if you're looking for a church in the Redlands area that is serious about the Word of God and worship, visit us at Redeemer Reformed Baptist Church this Sunday at 11 a.m. Again, we meet at the Arthur Murray Studio in Redlands. That's the Arthur Murray Studio Building, 1969 Orange Tree Lane in the city of Redlands, California. And remember, friends, there is a Redeemer. Jesus Christ is His name, and we have a duty as Christians to make Him known.